Welcome to Halle Healthcast, the wellness podcast from Halle Health, your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Every episode on our podcast addresses a new topic important to your health and well-being, bringing in expert doctors, specialists, and other healthcare experts who offer advice and answer your most pressing questions. Today's episode is all about aphasia awareness. June is Aphasia Awareness Month, so it's the perfect time to learn more about this important topic. Here with us is Abby Franz. She's a speech pathologist and clinical instructor in the Department of Speech and Hearing Science at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Welcome, Ms. Franz, and thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your knowledge. Let's begin with a question about aphasia itself. The National Aphasia Association estimates that 2 million people in the United States have this language disorder, and yet 84.5% of Americans surveyed say they've never heard of it, at least until actor Bruce Willis announced recently that he was retiring following an aphasia diagnosis. Ms. Franz, what exactly is aphasia, and why do we need to be aware of it?
Aphasia is an acquired impairment of language affecting the production or comprehension of speech and the ability sometimes to read or write, but it can leave other cognitive capacities relatively intact. Aphasia is always due to injury to the brain, most commonly from a stroke, but brain injuries resulting in aphasia may also arise from head trauma, brain tumors, or from infections. The one thing I want people to know is that people with aphasia may have difficulty producing words, but their intelligence is relatively intact. So their ideas, their thoughts, and knowledge are still in their head. It's just communicating those ideas, thoughts, and knowledge that is interrupted. Aphasia can be severe as to make communication with these patients impossible, or it can be more on the mild side. So it may only affect their ability to maybe produce speech or say some single words, or it may affect their ability to understand what you're saying to them at some capacity or to read or write. But more commonly, it will affect multiple aspects of communication and then leave some channels remain, you know, accessible for a limited exchange of information. It affects 2 million Americans and is more common than other well-known conditions such as Parkinson's disease, cerebral palsy, or even muscular dystrophy. So getting this awareness out there of even what aphasia is will be great for everybody to know, and if you encounter somebody that has these difficulties with their speech and language. As far as the types of aphasia, I don't really want to go too deeply into the various types of aphasia, but do just want to give a better understanding, a base understanding of how aphasia differs from person to person. But there's several different types of aphasia a person can be diagnosed with, but I'm just going to discuss just some of the most common very briefly. So one thing to know is every person with aphasia is unique. So every person's aphasia presents uniquely from every other person's aphasia. And so when we're making these determinations on the different types of aphasia, we're looking at those things I mentioned earlier. Does speech come easily? Does the person understand spoken language? And can they repeat a phrase back to you? And then once we have information about those particular characteristics, we kind of fit these individuals in different categories. So one of the categories is global aphasia, and this is the most severe form. And this significantly alters all four of language components. So the person typically can't speak very easily, nor can they really repeat a word back to you. Sometimes they don't understand spoken language. Global aphasia may be a temporary state, such as maybe immediately following a stroke, but that can improve over time. But in some cases of severe brain damage, the situation may be permanent. So even if global aphasia persists, there are ways to support communication and live successfully. Another type of aphasia is more commonly heard of as Broca's aphasia. And with this particular type, words don't come easily. And when they do, it's only a word or short phrase at a time. They may understand everything being said to them, but they typically can't respond very easily. So their vocabulary is affected. They lose access to calling up and using familiar words. This is a more type of non-fluent aphasia. And it's called that because speech can be really effortful and halting for them. Another type is Wernicke's aphasia. And with this type, words flow easily, but they typically don't make sense when strung together in sentences. So people with Wernicke's aphasia may not be able to understand what is being said to them. Their own speech may be peppered with irrelevant or nonsense words, though they may hear their speech as normal and not comprehend why other people can't understand them. So this is a form of fluent aphasia because the words typically flow out of their mouth easily, even though they may not make sense to the listener. And one more type I'm going to mention is the anomic aphasia. And this is probably the most mild form of aphasia that an individual can get diagnosed with. Their speech is filled with what we call circumlocutions. And that just means they talk around the thing they want to talk about because they're missing those key words. So while the person may understand spoken conversations and directions, they struggle with maybe writing or finding the right nouns or verbs they want to say when they're speaking to you.
Thank you, Ms. Franz. Excellent explanation. So aphasia is most often caused by a stroke, but since it can severely inhibit a person's ability to communicate, how is aphasia then diagnosed?
Yeah, so aphasia is diagnosed usually by a speech-language pathologist. And when we're making that diagnosis, performing different types of assessments and screenings depending on the medical setting and the medical status of the patient. So these assessments may be in the form of standardized testing or done more informally, measuring those four components of language, which I said earlier, which expression, comprehension, reading, and writing. We also look at different factors to make a determination into the types of aphasia an individual is presenting with. So we're looking at things like, does speech come easily to this patient? Does the person understand spoken language? Can they follow what is being said to them? And then can that person repeat a phrase or a word back to you?
Thank you, Ms. Franz. That makes it a lot clearer. So now we know aphasia can be recognized, but what's the prognosis for people with aphasia? Is the brain damage that causes it curable? And how is it treated?
So how it's treated is usually by a speech-language pathologist who's going to work to recover speech and language, as well as support new communication methods and some strategies that may work for an individual and their family. So treatment can really look different for each individual, depending on the severity of their aphasia and their communication needs. So initially, treatment may be focused on treating the specific language impairment itself, but over time, the goals of therapy may shift, and the focus will be on enhancing life participation. So life participation can mean different things to different people. So for some, maybe it's getting back to work. For others, it may be involved with their family or their community. And for some, it may just be involved in a hobby or activity that they enjoy doing. But for me personally, I really like to make treatment a collaborative model where the person with aphasia, their family, and the speech-language pathologist are a team. And the speech-language pathologist can design therapy activities that will help the person with aphasia to engage in activities that are really important and meaningful to them. So another thing that an SLP can also do is look into using some form of like augmentative speaking device if that's deemed necessary and helpful for the individual to aid in communication. Now, as far as prognosis, this is probably the number one question I get asked by most families and the patient themselves. But in the case of aphasia after a stroke or head injury, improvement can take weeks, months, or even years. I would say if the symptoms of aphasia last longer than 2 or 3 months after a stroke or some type of brain injury, complete recovery is probably unlikely. But I think it's also important to remember that complete recovery isn't the only possibility. Their speech and language can improve year after year, decade after decade, especially with speech therapy. Improvement can be a slow process that usually involves both helping the individual and the family really understand the nature of aphasia and learning different compensatory strategies for communicating.
Well, you've shed some light on this disorder. Thank you so much. So what can we do to help people living with aphasia? Are there support groups or assistive devices available to help them communicate?
Yeah, so I think there's just some tips that I can give that may be helpful if you encounter communication with somebody that has aphasia. I feel like if you use these kind of tips, I'm going to say that having a conversation with a person with aphasia can go a little bit easier. One thing I want to say is just keep everyone in the conversation. I think aphasia can be really isolating. You know, imagine not being able to easily convey your thoughts to your friends or family. And so many people with aphasia report that everyone talks around them as if they aren't in the room. So I think it's important to make the individual with aphasia feel included. You know, aphasia doesn't have to be isolating. In fact, it really can go a long way for a person with aphasia to know that you're trying to help them to communicate and remain a part of the conversation. I think another thing that individuals can do is use more than one means of communication. So we already use more than one means of communication, right? When we speak, we use gestures, we use our hands, we use facial expressions in order to drive home our point. You should always try to use more than just words, especially when communicating with someone who has aphasia. So those other communication aids, maybe pictures, gesturing, combining reading and writing and speaking, or just communication apps that are available, those can be really helpful to communicate with somebody who has aphasia. A couple other things, pause and listen. Conversations with someone with aphasia is just going to take more time. And so it helps to go into the conversation knowing that you need to be patient, use pauses, and wait. The more you clearly convey that the person should take their time, the better your loved one will be able to communicate. We all know stress increases communication difficulties. So make sure you're sending clear signals with your body language that you are patient. And silence is hard. We all know that, right? So we all have a tendency to fill quiet spaces in conversations, but it's necessary to allow this time when communicating with someone who has aphasia. Another key takeaway I'd say is keep it quiet. We all hear best when people speak to us at a normal volume rather than shouting, and when we hold conversations with minimal distractions. This fact is even more important when it comes to aphasia-friendly communication. So whenever possible, go somewhere quiet to speak where you can see each other face-to-face. Turn off the television or music to minimize distractions. And then another thing I think that's important, two more things I'll say, is verify. So verify with the individual that you're speaking with that they understood what you're saying. So this double check system makes for clear communication. For example, I say, I heard you say this. Am I right? We don't want to pretend that we maybe knew or understood what they were trying to say if we don't. So I think just verifying and asking them if this is what you were intending to say, is this what you were wanting to say, will help that individual. And then one last thing is ask yes, no questions. So when we're in a hurry, we instinctively start to phrase questions so people can give yes or no answers as opposed to open-ended answers. So take this communication method and apply it when possible to make questions aphasia friendly, especially for those individuals who really struggle with maybe comprehending what you're trying to say. So while some questions require a longer responses, others allow the person to give a head nod or a thumbs up motion in order to make feelings known. And that can really help the individual with aphasia communicate more effectively. You asked about stroke support groups. There are stroke support groups and aphasia therapy groups. That just kind of depends on where you're at and where the area you're living in. I would recommend the National Aphasia Association as a good reference to really get online and find in your area if there are any stroke support groups or aphasia therapy groups that can get you plugged into to really get that support and communicate with others who are maybe living with aphasia as well.
Great answer. Thank you, Ms. Franz. Okay, so you've said that aphasia is most often caused by a brain injury, but not always. Sometimes aphasia is the result of neurodegenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's disease, in which a person loses their ability to use language gradually and progressively, PPA, or primary progressive aphasia. What can you tell us about that, and how is PPA different from the other forms of aphasia?
Yes, of course. So primary progressive aphasia, PPA, is a neurological syndrome in which language capabilities become slowly and progressively impaired. So unlike other forms of aphasia that I talked about earlier that result from a stroke or brain injury, PPA is caused by neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's disease. PPA results from deterioration of brain tissue that's important for speech and language. And the type or pattern of language deficit can differ from person to person. As with aphasia that results from a stroke or brain trauma, the manifestations of PPA really depend on what parts of the left hemisphere are relatively more damaged at any given point in the illness. So this person may or may not have difficulty understanding speech initially. They may or may not have halting or effortful speech initially, but eventually almost all patients will become mute and unable to understand spoken or written language, even if their behavior seems otherwise normal as the disease progresses.
Thank you, Ms. Franz. It's so important to know. My last question for you, if you could communicate one central message about Aphasia Awareness Month, what would it be? What would you want everyone to be aware of?
Yeah, I think the one message I would want everyone to be aware of is do not assume that intelligence is compromised just because they have difficulty communicating a particular message or word. Remember just to keep them part of the conversation and try not to isolate them from social interactions that all of us want and need. Making just those simple adjustments that I talked about earlier with the way we communicate can really go a long way with helping an individual with aphasia feel respected and included, which is what all of us really want.
Well, just some wonderful responses and information. Ms. Franz, you've simply been a pleasure to have on our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and for all that you do every day at the U of I Department of Speech and Hearing Science for so many people and their families. That concludes today's Halley HealthCast. Tune in next time as we tackle yet another topic important for your health and well-being. And remember, Halley Health is your partner in helping you live your healthiest life. Visit Halley.com. That's Halley.com for resources, information, tips, and much more. Let us help keep you and your family healthy and well. Thanks for listening. We hope you tune in again.